table and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Hello once again and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery, hi.
And we are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show we focus on education. Through Mick's deep trance mediumship we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show we'll be discussing this last year, anything you would like. What's the Spirit World's view on this last year has been? And, we'll talk about the future next week, maybe. And maybe we'll ask Gregory what he did over Christmas. Anyway, we'll be discussing situations that affect us all, and if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, toll-free lines are open, and that is, you are in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227, in Canada, 888-815-9756. And any international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. And we don't do personal readings, private readings, or that sort of thing on the show, unless we advertise it as that. But you can phone in and talk about other things. Or if you did want a private reading, personal reading with Gregory, then you can get in touch with us from our website, www.spirit-teaching.com.
Yeah. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, and as well as Spirit Work here on the wonderful and ever-present and ever-growing bbsradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, as Sylvie said, or any of the other extensive services we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at spiritsworkradio.com. As regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England and has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane in physical life. We don't spend too much or very long with chit-chat or small talk. That is me anyway, because we want to get the show underway and we try to save as much time as possible for the spirit world and their interactivity with us, with you, here in the physical life. And so Gregory always has plenty to say. Anyway, unfortunately I do miss the whole show because I'm being the instrument. I have to wait to hear the recorded show. And at the moment I'm almost a year behind in that respect. So I'm going to pass you over to Sylvie anyway and prepare to go into the trance state and have a great show.
You don't know what you're missing, Mick.
I don't know what I'm missing, do I, Mermin? No.
Gregory Hay, who you will be listening to shortly, is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are made up of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. The White Cloud Group is an educational team of people, spirit people, that have come to give us access to information that they feel that we can benefit in knowing in order that we may move toward a more harmonious, peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence, and to help to evaluate our lives differently, possibly. So anyway, when Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of this group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. So this is not Mick passing on information through this non-physical entity. It's completely lights out for Mick, and it's welcome spirit guide Gregory Hay, who uses his body for this time. So anyway, if you would like to speak to, if you would like to see this process, we have got many videos on YouTube and on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. And like I say, if you'd like a reading or anything like that, do get in touch. And everything is self-explanatory on our website. We also will be on Second Life this Sunday. So that's www.secondlife.com. That's in between 1 and 2 Pacific once again. So you can join us on that and interact with Gregory once again on that show. We also have got digital downloads also that you can see on our website. Anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us, so he's left your glasses on, dear.
Would you like to?
I will. I'll take them off. You don't need those.
No.
There we are.
Slight error on
That's
his
funny.
Part.
Everybody's got a little picture of that. Gregory actually doesn't use mixed eyes when he's doing this. So
no, as anyone in the true state of trance would not actually use the eyes at all.
No.
No need for them, you see. They're just for the physical vehicle of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. Hello.
And how are you?
With love and light, as always. I am very well, thank you. Never better.
I was just saying to
All in one piece, you see. Even though I was decapitated, I am all in one piece.
I was just saying to Seth, our wonderful sound engineer in the studio, that I put on 5 pounds in less than a week, actually.
Yes.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yes. I understand, though, that my father, John Hay, would have put that on in one sitting just by eating one of his many pies.
Would he?
Yes.
And did you see your father over Christmas? Over the Christmas holiday?
I did, yes.
You said that you were going to, and your mother?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I met with my father in King's Lynn. I also met with my mother in Dijon, which is where she had actually originated from. Well, actually, her family had originated from Dijon, which is in the southeast of France, near to the Swiss border.
So why do they go to these places when they are in the spirit world?
Well, actually, it's because of physical memories, if you like, cellular memories.
So they go to... it's
or consciousness.
Okay. Okay, so they actually just make use of the energy, the change in the energy, the momentum of the whole situation at that time of year, do they? And then just...
Well, it's really just as a part of a celebration of their lives, I believe.
Okay.
And that isn't necessarily to say that I am apart from that, but it is oftentimes the situation of many people. Now, for example, if you were talking about native peoples, indigenous souls of Native Americans or something like that, their whole system of education and understanding was always that all of those beings who had had a physical life were still there in respect of their home grounds, in respect of their own tribal lairs, if you like. And so they would actually, and they always thought of that because they were actually there. Not that they were there and locked or trapped there in some estranged place that wasn't the spirit world. It wasn't that they were earthbound either. It's just to say, though, that it's somewhere where all of the ancestry congregated because their love of the earth at that time, during their physical life journey, was something that created that continuing endearment, which is why it is when you would go to somewhere where there is a long histrionics of a tradition of human habitation, particularly, as I say, through indigenous peoples who have a basic rites of passage to do with their whole, their stations, if you like, of the journey, their soul journey. It's actually to do with and centered around the earth in that respect. So they will continue to revisit the place, as I say. Again, it's not because they're locked in that. It's not because they're held back. It's just a place of shared remembrance.
Mm.
And that is a very loving and gifting experience for all beings.
Well, I guess why not, really, if you've got the ability to do that. And
Yes. yes.
affinity to do it in.
Yes, and of course nowadays it is an experience not just shared by those indigenous peoples, but many other peoples who recognize their deep-seated spirituality and the whole growth of their shared experience as akin to the fact that they were so harmonic in life, even though they were perhaps even quite warlike at times. It still meant that they were quite harmonic with the way in which they treated their lifetime experience and journey upon the earth plane. And that continued to reign in their search and their creation of willingness to be of service to others in the spirit world. And still does. That's the point. They don't shirk from their responsibilities in how they look upon their others, who others of their tribe who are fellow travelers, and also, of course, now, others who they may well be guides to or spirit helpers to because of their deep-seated spirituality.
Well, I guess there'll be people that want to do that.
Yes.
As at the moment, we the who are living the dream at the moment. Some
dream or not, or nightmare, depending upon the journey.
I know.
Yes, but, I understand that.
You know, some of us want to celebrate Christmas and others don't. Some of us want to look back and others don't. Some want to make New Year's resolutions and some don't. So
yes.
Each to their own, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But is there anything that you did or discovered over Christmas that we before we move on to anything else that you would like to tell us about?
Well, really, it's just really to say about the tenacity of people and their overcoming of any kinds of events, particularly people who have passed perhaps in such dire circumstances, whether it be a tsunami of the kind of proportions created by the Earth's own, I won't say violence, but upheavals to itself.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not situations which are only central to the befallen human state or human beings. It's actually to all animals that happen to pass during such an event as that. And all beings, all spirit who suddenly find themselves back or in their entirety in the spirit world from such an event. It's not just those that you have to think of, but all beings who actually suffer at the high ends of any kind of violence. And it's really in the tenacity of all of those beings in being able to overcome their united states of alteration, if you like, of how they're able to overcome the situation that happened to them and continue with their creative life experience.
Mm.
And it always amazes me how all beings are able to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, you were talking about how families actually become closer together in hardship, and looking at our calendar, it seems to be structured around Christmas and religion, and our economy is also the same, really, isn't it? So we've made a rod for our own backs in that way. So but the financial and ecological crisis maybe that we're in forces politics and companies, maybe, and individuals to think seriously, more seriously, about the way that we act in general.
Yes, but perhaps it might well be that the financial crisis is actually something that could help to formulate the recovery through the awareness of the planetary environmental crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself, by creating new forms of manufacturing for the need to actually be able to overcome your present persistent state of having to be glued to oil and all of that, is merely a situation which is obviously untenable. Regardless of the fact of whether you have more oil upon the planet than you can actually ever know what to do with. But the point is that it's not just that it's a finite source, but it's also a very polluting source. And that is something that you as a race have to overcome. And I'm saying that you have to look at this in a very positive light, that in point of fact, that's a whole new industry.
Well, you know, I keep seeing things on the television in the UK anyway that are really quite uplifting and positive about the situation to do with motor vehicles anyway, in particular for power, you know, the power that's driving them away from oil, in fact.
Yes, and I understand one of the most important situations to have arisen from this, I understand, comes from a very small little industrial, a very clever family who, I understand, have created an idea of actually how to create energy, which is free,
mm-hmm.
completely free, from the ocean, not using a barrage or something like that, which would actually block the water of tidal resources, but actually to create tidal weirs, which won't harm fish, which will not harm the environment in any way. You won't see them. They won't be on the surface. There wouldn't be anything of structure that you would ever see. And yet would actually, if engaged with worldwide, would create enough power for the entire planet.
So explain this situation. This is, I mean, we're talking about the future. This is really
absolutely
good. So if you'd like to explain, that would be fantastic. But I'd just like to say that if you'd like to join us with a question or a comment to us about anything to do with last year or next year, looking forward, looking back, do share us your little stories or comments. And, you know, the spirit world would like to hear them and join in with you at this time. The number is a free phone number in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
So a tidal weir would actually be constructed underwater, which also includes, of course, turbines throughout its entire length. This means that you can actually construct it anywhere there is a tidal surge. If you can imagine that, then the entire coastline that you have, it means that you would not actually create anything which would be obstructive to fishes or to any kind of crustaceans, would not be destructive to whales or any other kind of marine life. And in point of fact, would be able to create free energy for the entire planet. You would never have to burn any other fossil fuel
so,
for heating or for lighting or for anything.
So what does it look like?
Well, basically, it's a line of a structure which is which has rotating drums within it, which are basically based along its entire length.
And is this very difficult to construct or expensive?
I understand it is relatively cheap, relative to any other kind of scheme or situation. Obviously, it is just something that would be created really in the shallows, as that tends to be where most of the power comes from.
Well, and that's handy, isn't it, for maintaining it?
Yes, absolutely so. So that you have a situation where all of the river outlets, for example, of every single river, you could actually create and not just that, but of every single place that the ocean meets the land, because all of those, each and every place has a tidal range in some respect. So it has energy moving to and away from the land. This in itself, even as the tide moves forward or moves backward, even in one wave, will create energy. And this kind of structure can be built in point of fact and refined in such a way so that it is completely freely moving and generates power with every single wave of energy that is water flowing across it. from one direction or another. It doesn't have to even flow in one particular direction. It can be both in the moving forward and moving backward over it, whichever direction the flow of water actually moves. And it can even be in the slightest of movement.
Yes, I was going to say, in a still, calm sea. Wow, that's amazing. And
so unless the sea is actually becalmed and you have no movement, that's really going to be the only time that you would actually not have any free energy.
Amazing. That's lovely. Okay, hello, caller. Who's speaking, please?
Hi, this is Noella from Canada. Merry Christmas.
Hello, my dear friend. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Had a good Christmas. Not a lot of presents, but lots of joy and happiness, which is better.
Yes, wonderful.
Yeah, I was just going to tease you, Gregory, and say, did you spend Christmas with Mr. Squirrel?
Oh, well, yes, in part, but actually Mr. Squirrel shared his nuts with all of the other squirrels and all of the other beings of that nature, I understand. And
they didn't give him a big, huge acorn for Christmas?
Yes, a chocolate acorn, yes.
Yeah, we were talking about energy, and a lot of science fiction shows these flying cars. Do you think we'll ever get to that? Off the road and in the air, and not planes, but cars?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like propulsion in the air?
It is possible, my dear friend. It depends entirely upon whether humanity manages to really harness the situation of anti-gravity.
Yeah. I think we've been working on that.
Yes.
But I don't know how far into the future that would be.
Well, actually, my dear friend, I understand Mr. Tesla had done quite a bit of work upon anti-gravity as well as exchanges of energy using radio waves. And
yes.
In this respect, I understand that there are various mechanisms that he is still working upon, actually with other scientists who happen to be Japanese at this time. And I understand that he's working upon that.
Oh, that's great. Because he also, didn't he, what was an anti-gravity he was working on, but I was thinking about sound, you know, like moving objects with sound, like resonance.
Yes,
like
quite so.
Egyptian, well, they say the Egyptian pyramids may have been built that way, with sound resonance, and I thought that would be a good power source as well.
Yes, absolutely so. I understand, actually, that the Egyptian pyramids were purely built with sweat.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Because I've heard
yes.
other...
Yes, so I suppose you could say, in some respects, that the human the pyramids were actually built on fluid.
So no sound lifting up objects, then? That's what one of the theories was. Oh, that's
no, it was mud ramps.
Nice. I would have taken all the furniture people out of business, transporting and stuff like that. I just thought that would be a good energy source.
Yes. Yes.
Let me join in with this.
Yes, yes.
Didn't you once say that actually aliens had something to do with pyramids?
Well, they actually had a situation to do with the thought processes of how they would be constructed. Not forgetting, of course, that they were all done in layers, first of all, the whole burial chamber was structured first and the pyramid built around it. It wasn't so that it was actually done the right way round, and so it wasn't that they built the pyramid and then tunneled into it. It was actually that the whole thing began from the ground up and from underneath the ground, in fact. So, but the whole idea was actually so that the, so that whoever it was that lived there, because don't forget that they always thought and assumed that the pharaoh was going to live within the pyramid itself, so it was actually structured like a palace. And they had to have tunnels, interconnecting tunnels, from one situation, one part of the pyramid to another, purely and simply to allow the pharaoh and his other members, family members, to move freely around within the pyramid once it had been sealed. And that was actually the whole thought and process behind it. Part of this was actually through their interactivity with other life forms from elsewhere, from other worlds. And it was part of
the pyramid power is getting popular again, you know, enhancing, like, let's say if you put a fruit and it was all dried up and you put it in the underneath a pyramid, it would sort of come back to life. I'm not sure how it works, but if it was like a point in the sky where it would bring energy down and preserve food, and or the food would stay fresher longer. I don't know if that's accurate.
Yes, I understand that. It is a curious situation of how that may well be contracted. I have yet to see obvious proof of it, however, and also of the situation of people wearing one on their heads. I do not see that it actually brings them any improvement.
Yeah, I was. This is a little off topic, but I was curious. You know, people talking about near-death experiences and they get to the other side. Do they go as far in, or how does that work?
That's a good question.
Well, yes, a very good question, my dear friend. Well,
I know
the whole situation.
It's not.
No, it's absolutely fine.
No, no,
it's
absolutely.
Totally open show,
absolutely
Noella.
Perfect,
it's lovely,
my dear friend.
Okay. So have the interaction.
Yes.
That was
well, near death experience.
Always... Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. So near death experiences, they are absolutely. Sometimes they are not necessarily going to always come about when someone is near to that situation physiologically. It is something which, of course, people can create purely and simply like a purposeful astral traveling, for example. You may go into a room, lock the door, switch off your telephone or whatever, and lie down upon the bed and purposely astral travel. You need to take care when you are doing that you alert other people that that is your intention to do that, so that you are not disturbed and during that time. And it can be something which you can then actually create. I'm not suggesting that it's like that you're going there to create a death wish experience
but
or something like that.
No, but how far do you go?
Well, how far you go is exactly the same as how far you want to go in any other experience. And it doesn't mean to say that it's ever going to be dangerous, because the tether through your etheric bead is always still going to be joined to your solar plexus. So it's not a matter of how far you go. That's part of the problem that human beings always measure in increments, because they're only in linear time fields. The point is, it's like being in every when. So how are you going to define when you are not in physical?
Exactly. Well, I actually had an astral experience, and it was not intentional. I was just very overtired, and all of a sudden I popped out of my body. And
yes.
It felt wonderful, but
yes.
I didn't know. I wasn't really anywhere. And then I just thought, oh, I want to look on my daughter. And then I showed up in her room and I saw her playing, and then I snapped back because I knew I had to wake up. But,
yeah, exactly.
It was a thought. As soon as I thought of something, then I went. But when I wasn't thinking, I was just enjoying the sensation of it.
You were really enjoying the moment.
The moment, exactly. It was wonderful. And then I wasn't really sure if I was dreaming or if it was real, but definitely felt real to me.
Well, if I may, my dear friend, what you actually experienced there was complete transference. That is what thought is. Thought is a living thing. And
right.
It really is. That is the operation. So that in the spirit world, that is actually how we move from one place to another. Thought is inspirational and continuous. So that when we have a thought, we grow with it, and it's immediate. So there is no time period that elapses from having the thought to actually creating it.
That's right, because it was like, oh, I could be happy here for a while. It was because it was so new, too. I don't know if it gets old hat after a while, but
no, it doesn't.
For me,
that's the point.
Yeah, it doesn't. it doesn't. It's always, it was just so blissful and peaceful. And I actually could see a silver cord and I could feel myself sort of like a round sphere. But if I wanted to, like I wanted to wave at my daughter, so I thought, where's my hands? And I kind of like, then I saw something coming out like a hand, so it was kind of strange, because it was all new to me, but I never forgot it, never.
Now, my dear friend, when you saw the situation of the hand, that was purely and simply your cell memory creating the thought, because thoughts are living things, your hand was living.
Ah, right, because I didn't have one until I thought about it.
No, exactly. Sort of like, that's right.
Yeah.
It was, and that doesn't mean to say that you then conjured it up. What it means is that it was the presence of your cell memory, and that's what that gives you, my dear friend, the evidence of what I have been saying all of this time, that it is your cell memory that forms a part of your consciousness, and that is why that when you come to the spirit world, in whatever form that is, whether that's in your astral journey like that, that is your spirit coming to us, to the spirit world. It's just one step away in a different, slightly altered vibration.
I was totally alone, though, but it didn't feel alone, but I didn't see anything, but it didn't matter. It was sort of like all the things we care about don't matter. It was
wonderful.
If at
that time, my dear friend, if at that time you had projected the thought of your spirit guide, perhaps your doorkeeper who walks with you, you would have met that person at that point.
Oh, shucks. Well, next time, if it happens again, I'll try to
remember
that.
Well, then you know. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that is
it was an accident that time, but it would be nice to do it again. Did you ever have that, Gregory, before you passed? Did you ever have?
No, I didn't. I never had any kind of out-of-body experience at all. The only the only situation that I had was purely physical, to do with, well, I suppose that I observed much to do with just physical life. I wasn't a deeply spiritual person in my physical life, although I wrote the odd bit of poetry and that kind of thing. I was really just quite I lived just quite a normal, meager life, not anything associated with deep-seated spirituality.
Well, mine wasn't, I wasn't expecting it, so I don't know how that happened, but I was going to say, you'll have to read a poem for us one day. And I'll let you go. I hope you keep writing your poetry.
Yes, I do on occasion. It's not very often now because I'm so busy, you see.
Okay, well, I know you have other things to do. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you, Noella. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yes, God bless, my dear friend. Thank you.
Yes, that's good, isn't it? We want it to happen again when it happens.
Yes.
But presumably, unless you do it purposefully, and we've talked about how to do that, we won't go into that here now, but we have done shows on how to purposefully astral travel before. Presumably, the more you want it, the less it's going to happen, or is it that if you put the word out to your spirit and your spirit team that you would like that to happen, that maybe, obviously, when you're not expecting it, it will happen again.
Yes, but also it may well happen when you do expect it. The point that I'm saying is that you can create it in a very structured way, and that is actually the safest way to do it, so that it's not something that just happens in a haphazard moment in your life, or when you're not expecting it, but actually is something that you do on purpose, so that you are able, not as a mind game, but as a real personal projection, and that it doesn't mean to say that you're projecting your consciousness to somewhere else, because that is not understanding the mechanic of what's actually taking place.
Okay. How do you know you're going to astral travel? I'm not just going to a deep meditation.
Well, that's part of the process, my friend. You have to find the right doorway of letting go. And it may well be that to begin with, it's just that you feel the experience, what you have to really learn to do is to lessen the fear of letting go. And that means really letting go. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That is something which most people simply have great difficulty with, because they don't actually realize that, in point of fact, what is on the other side is really very beautiful and peace-filled.
Mm-hmm.
And immediate. And it doesn't mean to say that because you do that you are then risking your life doing that. It's something that's very natural to create for yourself, that kind of pathway.
Yes, that's wonderful. I have had astral out-of-body experiences before. That was very... some are more explicit than others, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And
that's memorable.
Yes. And I know that many people do associate this with near-death experiences. Well, that sounds so alarming, doesn't it? Like the only time you can possibly have these kinds of experiences when there's something physically wrong with you, or your heart stops, or something like that. But I'm saying it doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be a situation associated then with something of the connotations that death creates fear. Because it shouldn't. It should be something that you actually, well, not necessarily welcome, but something that is, that does not contain fear. So that it becomes something of your own reality. Then it would mean that, and I understand that some people may then use this as a way to perhaps... So that because of the fact they have no fear of death, then they don't care who they take with them. That is a very unfortunate circumstance that many people have come to take of themselves. They care less about physical life, have no service for it.
Okay, well, if you'd like to join us with a question or a comment, or just have a little chat to Gregory about whatever, really, we've gone from pyramids, out-of-body experiences, flying cars... you name it, we've been talking about the free energy.
Yes.
So if you want, we were looking back on last year, so if you'd like to use the USA number, it's 877-876-5227, and if it's Canada, it's 888-815-9756. Yes, and then I was talking to you about what it was that you would like to talk about that's happened. Well, what's happened this last year that you would like to talk about? Let's look back over the years. Are there things that you think have actually turned into something that's going to be beneficial for humanity? I mean, you know, there's so many awful things that's happened. We know about those. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Hello, caller. Who's speaking, please?
Hi, Sylvie. This is John from Chicago. How are you doing?
Hey, John.
Hello, my dear friend.
How are you? Have you had
very
a nice
good.
Christmas?
Very nice, yes. Still the holiday season.
Yeah.
Yes, quite.
Feels like the holidays.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
Interesting show, but I just want to mention a long time ago, one of your first shows, I called and I asked if you could pick up on a singer who died, and he was on the other side, and Gregory couldn't pick up on him on the other side, but that was Jim Morrison of The Doors. And,
yeah.
You know, I thought that was interesting, but then Gregory went on to talk about Freddie Mercury. And not too long ago, I had the pleasure of meeting Jim Morrison, who is still alive. And of all things, he had a great, great admiration for Freddie Mercury. He said he was the best artist, you know, of his times.
Yeah.
I found that very, very fascinating that
Gregory
picked up on Jim Morrison's favorite artist, actually.
Yes. Absolutely. I understand, my dear friend, actually because Freddie, who is still extremely active, continues to be a person who gathers great energy around him, even through the memories that were instilled in the human race during his physical life, but also after his passing, still continues to create new memories for people who may never have met him or who just really through the music that he produced. And such is exactly the same with any other composer or any other artist. You see, when you have people who go and admire a work, whether it be Rembrandt or whether it be Tchaikovsky or Bach or any other composer, any other lyricist, or any other person who creates beauty within the life and is seen and admired and consciously perhaps that it creates elevation in other people's minds, that also creates abundant energy. And this energy is what is oftentimes used in the spirit world, as we were saying to the lady just before, that it's actually because energy is actually free. You don't really have to pay for it. It's just something that you have learnt to construct in your physical life. But unfortunately, it's something because it's made a great feast of in many respects. But you don't have to do it that way. It's something that's very free, and that you can create this free state around yourself in exactly the same way that you will have to harness in the future, not just in your own personal lives, but in the ways that you have effect upon other beings. And how this is created then can be in just in the simple things of creating music, or in the simple things of creating words or speech, and the powers of that create ambience between peoples, create empathy between peoples and understanding, as well as fear, as well as wars, are also created. Same abundant energies, just a different situation, different connotation that you put upon it.
That's fascinating. Thank you. Can I also point out, I live in an apartment and I haven't gotten internet yet, but I'm able to get that Wi-Fi because I guess somebody in the neighborhood has a very strong signal. So usually I could get Wi-Fi for maybe 10 minutes at a time, and then I don't get it for several hours. But ironically, your show, I usually get for about 40 minutes nonstop. I don't know why it comes in so clear. But I kind of find that a miracle, too. So I don't have internet. I'm listening to your show. I thank you. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And I'll get back to
thank you, sir.
And you, John. Lots of love. Take care.
You take care, my dear friend.
You too.
Thank you, sir. God bless. God bless.
Yeah, that's nice. The, it's interesting, that, isn't it, that, like you mentioned Freddie Mercury, and I know that you have a lot of dealing with Freddie Mercury in particular.
Yes.
And it's interesting that he has become spiritually minded more so since he's passed, presumably.
Well, he was very spiritual anyway.
Mm. It came out in his music, I know.
Yeah.
And obviously people that work that hard musically don't... Well, it's unsung heroes, really, isn't it?
I suppose so, in many respects. It's actually because of the fact that they sing from the heart. That's the point. The music is created from the heart and from the from his own consciousness, from his link with spirit. That's the point.
Mm.
And that he was particularly in the latter stages of his life, before he came to our side of life, he actually made many trips personally to the spirit world. And in a sense, I hope that it helped to lessen his fear before he did pass, although I am aware that he, in a sense, his last days were all about letting go, really.
Mm.
And I understand he dwelt very much within the garden of his dwelling place at the time, and that it was very reflective about that.
Well, I know he's still singing, isn't he?
Yes, quite so. But also is actually creating, interestingly, that when people become very involved in a person's music who has passed, and they become very empathic with that, emotionally, not destabilized, but actually emotionally empathic with that, perhaps creating the passages of energy between themselves and the person. In this case, with Freddie, who actually created the music in the first place, along with his other members, of course, which are still living, in physical life, that these situations were actually still creating resonance between them and still draws his energy toward them, you see?
Mm.
So that's actually what happens when anyone plays a piece of music from someone who was passed, and when they become empathic with it, when their energy soars with the pieces that have been written, and what that creates in that person's islands of spirituality, if you like, that is exactly what happens when you then feel that empathy creates the link with them. And it's very real. And don't think, my dear friend, that this is not a real link. You are actually creating it.
Yes. And I didn't mean... I'm going to say this now because I'm going to think later on, oh, no, I didn't mean to say that he wasn't a spiritual person. I mean overtly spiritual, outwardly, you know, making a big deal of it. I mean obviously...
Yes, quite so.
A very gentle spiritual person.
Yes. Absolutely so, yes. There, you've done it now.
Yes, I don't want him to clip me around the ear.
No, he wouldn't anyway, dear.
Yeah, so, well, we've had lots of different subjects covered, and I did ask just before the last caller, John's call, was there anything, you know, in a positive way that you can look back on this last year and, you know, think, well, This is something that's good that's come out of this year in amongst
yes.
all of the dross.
Well, there are many good things that have come out of this past 12 months, my dear friend. It's actually to do with humanity opening its eyes, perhaps, at last.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs these kinds of shocks to the system in order for human beings to take stock of themselves and to actually realize the behavior that they create creates these stoic energies, creates these malpractices because of greed, because of selfishness. These are energies which are extremely negative, but hopefully they will create positive ways forward for others to recognize this in themselves so that they actually change their habits, change their way of thinking, and the way that they are perhaps presenting themselves in their own physical lives. That's the positive message that we have for all of this. But I know that you are all going through such deep negativity, and it's not over yet.
No, I know. And, you know, the thing is, I think we have realized the vulnerability of... you know, things like our government and big companies and, you know, that sort of thing. And our future, really, and everything about our well-being has been on such a dangling on over a precipice that it's made us, yes, look within and to other alternatives and to other situations to review our lives in such a way that we're not going to just rely on other people, banks and other people and everything, who run merrily along and everything's going to be roses, that maybe we are going to take more of a responsible role in our lives and be more proactive and positive about our future instead of just hoping and wishing.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, that is true, but that's actually only ever going to happen so long as that the people involved in the process actually change their attitudes.
Well, yes.
Rather than... continuing their same behaviour.
Yes, but I don't think
that
we will.
And that's part of the problem.
I don't think that
you have at the moment.
I don't think that we are going to ultimately give them the benefit of the doubt that they are going to do that. I don't think most people aren't going to be so, unless they're very, very lazy. They're not going to be so gullible as to think that it won't happen again and that, you know, you've just got to trust everybody without question.
Yes,
you know
but,
what I mean?
Yes, but it appears to be, however, my dear friend, that part of the situation we see from outside of life is that many people actually still feel that they are still have their hands tied, that they cannot help the situation or change it or be motivated to change it purely and simply because it happens outside of their reach.
Well, I think that, well, yes.
And this is still a problem.
Yes, it is a problem. I think the biggest problem is... staying positive enough to feel motivated and, you know, able to do it, to make a difference.
Yes.
It's the positiveness within you. It's to actually, that is the thing that you need to work on to actually make you do something about it.
Yes, absolutely.
And
so,
and know, don't bury it, get buried under the negativity of the things that are happening.
No, quite so. You have to look at this in a very positive light, in exactly the same way that if you are presently working within an industry which has become defunct in some way, perhaps because it's of an industry that you're no longer required to work in, you really need to change your outlook. You need to change what it is that you do to create new pathways.
You don't wait for the inevitable, you mean? Really.
No, exactly so.
Mm. Yes, change can be a good thing as well, anyway, in the end.
Reinvention of yourself oftentimes will uncover totally different aspects of yourself you may have well never looked at, never observed in yourself. That's the whole situation about the gifts of spirit that each and every individual has. It's not something that's rare. You are not a rare medium. There are hundreds of thousands of millions of people who have mediumistic gifts, who continue to live now and who have lived in the past. Every single being who has ever lived had gifts of their spirit to offer to give to somebody else. That means every single one of you is a medium. It's not a rare thing at all. It's a very common thing. What is rare is that people actually come to realize it. That is the rare thing.
And actually do something about it.
Yes. And therefore, once developing one aspect of their mediumistic and beautiful spirit-gifted state, then it means they will become in touch with all of the other vast parameter of wealth and knowledge and understanding that person holds within themselves. They just merely have to take that first step.
But even, but you know, knowing that you can do something about your life, this, and that this world is not always going to be like this, this is not your lot, how the economy and the state of your life is or may be at the moment.
Yes.
Knowing that and focusing on that, concentrating on that, keeping positive, and actually acting on your maybe intuition a little more can change this whole thing around. Because these, you know, I know it's going to get worse even still, but like you say, you know, it's the thought of it that's creating it. We have to do something about it. We have to be positive
and move beyond it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So,
that is very true, and that's not saying that you have your head buried in the clouds, but that you are actually seeking a new reality. The dawn of new reality is what you have to create yourself.
Mm. So what do the, we've got a minute or two left.
Yes.
So what would the spirit world like to see this year, this coming year?
Well, absolutely, my dear friend, the spirit world wishes to see, we all wish to see, that humanity at last wake up from their dream. That's what they need to do. Wake up from their dream and understand this is for real. And this is something that they actually have a part to play in. That they do have a voice, that they do have an activity they can create change within. Not just in their own locality, in their own little world around them, but that you, every one of you, can create change en masse. You just have to have the mind to do it. Just have to have the presence to do it. The presence, what you create, is the force that you create with. That means not an energy to become overbearing on others, but that to say, I recognize what I have failed to do in the past, and I'm making a positive change to correct that course. And that's what you are doing. And then you will find that you're all actually creating pathways in unity. They may well be diverging pathways, because you are all different.
Absolutely.
So it means that you all have different faculties as
right.
well.
Difference is good.
And the orientation that brings that about means that you will discover new horizons and new events for others to admire about yourself and your walk of life.
Okay.
God bless upon your journey.
Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you so.
And I'd just like to say a very happy new year to everybody, all our listeners, and that we hope you've enjoyed this show. Thank you so much for your emails. Do continue that within the new year, and together we can make a difference. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.